We listen, the folk around New Jersey love to hear the men sing. They love to hear all of our choir sing. And so I'm grateful that we've got some. I consider the music ministry of any church like the United States Armed Forces. You got Marines, you got sailors, you got airmen, and you got some soldiers. And any given time, any one of them are out doing battle for the Lord through the songs of praise. Some of you know your praise is the greatest, one of the greatest weapons you have to fight against the devil. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles? It's preaching time. To the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter number 3. I want you to say amen. We've located the text. 2 Peter. Chapter number 3. Make sure you're in the second book, not the first book. Amen. 2 Peter, chapter number 3, verse number 1. The scriptures read, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Here's the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, "Remember and Don't Forget." Remember and don't forget. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine eyesight. I pray, God, that that would be the prayer for all of us, that the words of all of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts will indeed be acceptable to you, O God, as we now have praised you and prayed unto you. We prepare now to preach and proclaim about you the immeasurable richness of the kingdom of God. I pray that the anointing would fall fresh in this place, and that you, God, will continue to reverberate off the walls and penetrate into the hearts and minds of your people, that we would not leave here the same as when we came in here. I pray that you would have your way, and we, God, shall be careful to give your name all the glory, all the praise, and all of the honor, in the blessed and wonderful name of Jesus our Christ, that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, ushers. You may take your seat as well. Today is Memorial Day weekend, the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, and tomorrow is Memorial Day. And as I wrote in your bulletin today, on the left side under my notes, I gave a little expose, as I try to do, about all of these special days. And the meaning and the purpose of Memorial Day is powerful. It is powerful because, unlike Veterans Day, Memorial Day pauses to recognize the men and women of the United States Armed Forces who have died, and we stand to remember their sacrifices and their service. Veterans Day, although it has that as part of its meaning, it really is focused on the veterans who are still living and who are still with us on this side of the river. And so whether it is November the 11th or the fourth Sunday of the month of May, which is traditionally when Memorial Day is celebrated and recognized, it is the Monday that officially inaugurates Christmas. Many who are in other forms of religious tradition believe that it is the beginning of what's called the summer solstice. The 21st and the 22nd, every third month, are these changing of the season. We're grateful that it's been hot, but summer officially begins this weekend. Amen, somebody. And I'm glad about it. We had a long, cold winter, and I'm glad summer is here. And yet, besides the official start of Memorial Day and all of the short traffic and all of the bumper-to-bumper traffic at exit 7 and 7A going down to the shore, we pause to remember a more salient and important message. And that message is to the airmen and to the sailors and to the mariners and to the Marines and to the airwomen and those soldiers who fight on theaters of foreign battle to defend the peace and the liberty that we enjoy in these United States of America. And every now and again, we ought to pause and say thank you. And I want to do that today to honor those who have had a loved one to die. I'm moved by that commercial. I think it's USAF, the insurance company that says mine was purchased some decades ago, meaning my family member, my loved one, my daddy, my grandma, my granddaddy, whoever it was, who died and had the sense to think about the next generation. I want to thank them. And so I inherit what they started some decades ago. And so if you have a loved one, I'm not asking if you yourself are a veteran, but if you have a loved one who have died and served in the United States Armed Forces and who has now passed on, let me be clear, if they have served in the United States Armed Forces and have now passed on, either by natural death and or because they were killed in the line of duty, I want to ask that you stand up on behalf of your loved one. Would you please do that all over the sanctuary? Let's give God a praise offering for these men and these women who are the benefactors of those who have gone before you. And now you keep standing. I want to ask all of you who are active duty or have retired from military service, honorably discharged, I want to ask you to stand at this time. Many of you are already standing, I know, but if there are any additional veterans, those who have served in the United States Armed Forces, let's give these men and these women a few more stood up. Let's do better than that, because while we're sleeping, somebody was in the air flying over on a boat defending on another nation patrolling so that we could have the pursuit of happiness and life and liberty. So you may be seated. God bless you. We honor our veterans. We thank God for those who have served and died in the United States Armed Forces. And so today and throughout this weekend, there will be services all over America, in cemeteries small and great, at the U.S. Army military Brigadier General Doyle in Arneytown. They will have services to recognize these men and these women across the river in Washington, across the river in Delaware, in Pennsylvania, at the Washington National Monument Cemetery. They will have services to recognize these men and these women, and we honor and we respect them. Down at the Arlington National Cemetery, at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the President, the Commander-in-Chief, will lay a wreath, as is his or is the tradition of the President of the United States of America. And so we thank God that we can live in a country where we can serve any God we want to. Amen, somebody. I'm not just talking about Judeo-Christianity. I thank God the Muslims can serve their God and read the Quran. I thank God the Jews can serve their God and read the Torah. I thank God our Hindu brothers and sisters can read the Vedic scriptures and serve their God. I thank God the Buddhist brothers and sisters can read the Ling scriptures and serve their God. Because we live in a country that said Congress shall make no law establishing a religion or respecting a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Meaning, I'm not going to tell you what God to serve, and you can serve whatever God you feel led to serve. That means I can holler Jesus as loud as I want to. I can share Jesus wherever I want to, and nobody is going to tell me to shut up. And if they do, I can just roll my eyes and look towards heaven. Don't roll it at them, just roll up towards heaven. Because that's part of the freedom that God has blessed us with in these United States. Most countries around the world don't have that freedom. And you can see what's going on in the Middle East, right? That they would put a man or woman in a cage and burn them to death. That does not represent true Islam. That's an extreme. And so in this country, we've got to war against extremism of any type. But we also have to preserve the ability for men and women to worship in whatever tradition they feel led. That means even the atheists could have the right to say, I don't believe in a God. And that's all right. Because if you who believe in a God keep preaching like you're supposed to be preaching, maybe they just might believe in a God. Amen, somebody. It's the beauty of America. I recognize one of my sisters, Sandra. What's the rank, Sister Sandra? What's the rank? Stand up for me. What's the rank? What is it? E6. She's a staff sergeant. Amen. Military chaplain for the United States Army. Give God a praise offering, my sister. She's over chaplaincy services at what fort? You go head back with your bad self. Head of chaplaincy services over all three of those combined joint bases, all right? To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. And listen, my sister Yvonne, where's Yvonne? Stand up, Yvonne, since I'm calling some folk out. Tell me the rank again. Come on, Lieutenant Colonel. It gets a little bit better than that, but not too much better than that. Lieutenant Colonel for the United States Air Force. Let's give God a praise offering. I got sisters holding it down on either side of the sanctuary. I love it. And not to mention my brother Nall. He's not here today, but he is what rank, Yvonne? He is a colonel. Colonel Walter Nall, United States Army. Is that right? So he stands and goes around the country Veterans Days and Memorial Days and represents the president and other members of the Department of Defense. So I simply want to say, as I was praying about this sermon and what it means to memorialize, what it means to honor, the Lord woke me up early this morning and put the word remember in my spirit. And he said, I want you to share today with my people about what it means to remember. And as I thought about this, I began to do a word study about remember. How often is it mentioned in the Bible? And I was absolutely astounded by the fact that I learned that the word remember is mentioned hundreds of times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. In point of fact, both in its Hebrew mnemonic language and in the Greek language, the word has very similar meanings. It means the ability to recall or recollect. So to remember facts and figures, to remember experiences and people, to remember times good and times bad. And all of us sitting and seated in this sanctuary can recall and recollect, we can remember experiences that we've had throughout our lives. And I believe that part of what makes this word so powerful is that in the Word of God, it is used in not only in a variety of languages, but is used in a variety of ways. And I begin to reflect on, as I comb through this pile of scripture, this slide about the aspects of remembering, I said, let me kind of compartmentalize this. And so there were these four, and there may be a few others that I didn't even get. But as I read through scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, my mind said, oh, this one fits in the category of God remembers the covenant that he made with his people. And then I read a few more scriptures. I said, no, this one, it fits into the category of God remembering the people to whom he had made promises. And then I said, well, no, this one fits into the category of God does not remember some of the things that you and I did that we are embarrassed and ashamed about. Anybody grateful that God doesn't remember some stuff that we've done in our lives? I'm grateful today. And then I said there's a fourth category of people remembering other people or remembering what God had promised them. And so there's a thing of God remembering what he promised. There's also the notion of you and I recalling and recollecting what God had promised us. Come on, somebody. And the scriptures are replete with dozens of scripture. The Bible is replete with dozens of scripture that fit into one of these four categories. And so I don't want you to lose the Memorial Day theme of remembering. We want to remember those men and women who have died and who have sacrificed their lives. The Bible says greater love has no man, no woman than to lay down their life for another brother or a sister, or what the Bible says is their friend. I'm grateful today that Jesus exemplified and illustrated the greatest love of all, which is to hang on Calvary's cross and to bleed out and to die and to say, it is finished. Into thy hands do I give my spirit, God. I have done what you've called me to do. I have given my life that they may have everlasting life. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful today that Jesus laid down his life that I might have life eternal. Anybody grateful today for the sacrifice of Mary's baby? Anybody grateful today of the sacrifice of James's brother? Anybody's grateful today for the sacrifice of the disciple's savior? Anybody grateful today for the sacrifice of my rose of Sharon, my lily of the valley, and my bright and morning star? I thank God today for the sacrifice of my Christ. Greater love has no man. I say it often. I believe I would lay down my life for my wife and my children, my grandmama, my family, right? But I know that if you keep pushing that limit, there's a limit. Well, I'm not going to lay down. As holy as I think I am, as righteous as I think I am, I know there's a limit, and I know I'm not the only one that has the limit. I know some of y'all sitting out there right now, there will be some for whom you would, but there'll be a whole bunch of other folk for whom you would not. And that's why God said, I will come down, I will sacrifice, because I know none of us would do it sitting down here. We ought to thank God for Jesus today. The greatest love. So the Bible speaks about these things of sacrifice. Remember the sacrifice. And yet as I prepare for this sermon, three points besides these categories came into my head. One was the notion of this particular scripture. Three points in Peter's scripture kind of came to my head. And these words, reminded, remember, and results, the Spirit dropped in my spirit. Because when you look at these two verses in Peter, I was going to give you dozens of other scriptures that kind of supplement and complement or amplify those four categories. But let me just rush on to this category, this sermon, this scripture, in 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to notice the word reminder. It says in verse number 1, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. The first point I want to talk about is this notion of reminder. I want to share it because I find it absolutely compelling that Peter, apostle that Jesus had given, to whom he had given the keys of the kingdom, and Peter, the one who was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter, the part of the troika, the triad that was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, the one who is believed to be the first pope of the Western Church. Peter, it is Peter who, this great man of God, who had propagated the gospel of Jesus Christ, first in Jerusalem and then secondly throughout all of the known Roman world. Peter, he says, and he writes in this book, I need y'all to get this a second time, because the first time y'all didn't seem to get it. Why do I say that? Because he says, I write to you a second time, a second book, by way of reminder. And it says to me that we, within our human frailty and foibles and fallacies, we are prone to forget what God has called us to do, and somebody has to remind us. Come on, somebody. I know some of y'all looking here like, I don't need a reminder. I got it the first time. Well, if you got it the first time, you would be doing a little bit better than what you're doing right now. And so every now and again, the Spirit of the living God has to send somebody or something to remind us of what He said we were supposed to do, or remind us of what He said we were supposed to go, or remind us of what He said we were supposed to say, or remind us of what we were not supposed to say, because some of us forgot, and remind us of some stuff we weren't supposed to do, because some of us forgot, and remind us of some places we weren't supposed to go, because some of us forgot. And I'm grateful today that when I think I'm riding my high horse and nobody can touch me, and I think I'm all that in a bag of chips and a can of Coke, and I don't make a mistake and I walk on water, I'm so glad God shakes me and He moves me and He reminds me that you're not everything you think you are. You better humble yourself, fall down on your knees, lift up your hands, open up your eyes, and know where your blessings come from. Because some of us have forgotten where we have come from. Some of us have forgotten what God has done. Some of us have forgotten. And every now and again, we need to be reminded. Now, y'all can look at me funny like I'm the only one, but I know every single one of us up in here have not done everything God has called us to do. Every single one of us up in here have not gone to the places God has called us to go, say the things God has called us to say, stop doing the stuff we're not supposed to be doing. And because of that, we're living on His grace and His mercy. And I don't know about you, but when I realize what I could have been, when I realize what could have happened, happened to me, when I realize what the devil tried to do to me, I'm so grateful today that I need to be reminded that I've got a God that sits high and looks low and protects me with the hand of protection and shields me through all of my trials and my heartaches and my turmoil. I need to be reminded every now and again. Peter says, I write to you a second time that in your pure mind, in the purity of your mind or the sincerity of your heart, I know you meant to do it, but let me just help you out. And he says, I need to remind you of a few things. The number one thing he says, I want to remind you of, I want you to remember. He says in verse number 2, he uses the words in the New King James, or the New King James translation, I should say, uses these words, that you may be mindful of. Put up point number 2, that you may be mindful of. But if you look in that old King James, it uses the word remember. That you may remember, not just be mindful of, but that you may remember the words which were spoken to you. And that part of the text captivated and arrested my mind, because I then said to myself that what I am remembering isn't just the bad things that other folk have done to me. Because how many of you know the devil will cause us to dwell on all of the negativity that everybody has done to you and try to make you think you're the only one going through a trial and a tribulation, that you're the only one. You want to have a pity party and invite nobody. You want to go off by yourself and say, woe is me, I'm the one. But you need to say, devil, you are a liar, because no matter what you are trying to make me think, I know I'm not the only one, and I know that God has been too good to me to bring me this far and to leave me by myself. And so therefore, get behind me as I remember. Maybe I don't just want to dwell on the negative. I want to stay on the stuff that God hasn't done for me. God said he was going to give me a new house. God said he was going to give me a new job. For some of y'all sisters, God said he was going to give me a husband. For some of y'all brothers, God said he was going to give you a wife. I know you may not have gotten what you want, but I need you to stop for a minute. Put a quarter in the nickel, or put a nickel in the quarter in the meter, and look back in the rear view mirror and stop blaming God for all the stuff he hasn't yet done, and look at everything he has done, and go ahead and give God a praise offering. Because if he never does another thing, how many of you know he's already done enough? I need some folk to remember today. Does anybody remember? Do you remember what he did for you yesterday? Do you remember how he healed your body? Do you remember how he put food on your table? Do you remember how he put clothes on your back? Do you remember how he fought your battle? Do you remember how he put a roof over your head? Do you remember today? Not only do I need to be reminded to remember the stuff he hasn't, what he's already done, not only do I need to be reminded to remember that the devil is a liar, I also need to be reminded to remember that if I just humble myself, I cannot control the actions of everybody or anybody outside of myself. I'm the only one who can control my actions and my thoughts. So I need to be reminded to remember. Stop looking at other folks' backyards. Stop worrying about other folks' actions.
instructions, stop listening to other folks' words, and just do you to control what you can control. Because if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says he will lift you up.
But every now and again, I need to be reminded to remember that I can't control anybody else but me. But all of that and a few other things are all encapsulated in what I call the Word of God. Come on, somebody. So Peter simply says, put point two back up there for me. Peter simply says, I need you to be reminded to remember or be mindful of the words which were spoken. Come on, somebody. Now, he goes on to say, by the prophets, go on to the next slide. Right, those words that were spoken before the Holy Spirit, holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles. So he says, I need you to remember what the apostles spoke, and I need you to be reminded and remember what the prophets spoke. In essence, what he's saying, I need you to be reminded to remember the words of God as spoken in the Old Testament, and I need you to be reminded to remember the words of God as spoken in the New Testament. In other words, I need you to be reminded to remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Some of y'all need to be reminded. I need you to be reminded to remember that God doesn't make any mistakes. His word is true. It will not return void. It will accomplish that which was intended. I need someone here. Does anybody understand that when you are standing on the word of God, that you've got a sure foundation, that no matter what comes in your life, all you've got to do is go back to the book and recall the word of God. When you're going through your trial and your tribulation, open up the book and remind yourself, you are Rupert Nikayo. You are more than a conqueror. When you're down in the valley, remind yourself of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For God, do I have a witness here today? For God is with me. When I don't have enough to eat, I need you to go back to the story of the little boy who had two loaves of bread and some fish and gave it over to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it and fed 5,000. He'll be food on your table. He'll be clothes on your back. Do I have a witness here today? Has God made a way for anybody up in the sanctuary that you need to be reminded to remember that God will always be true to his word?
Now,
I want you to know that when he is true to his word, that he expects something from us. Yeah, when God is true to his word, he expects something from us. He does not expect perfection. Let me get that out of your head right now, because some folk think they are perfect. Nobody up in here, of course. But somebody do think they're perfect, that they don't make any mistakes. But what God does expect is faithfulness, not perfection. Faithfulness says, God, I've made up in my mind that no matter what the devil tries to do, and no matter what the demons try to say, that I'm standing on your word, and I'm taking you at your word. No matter what my situation looks like, I want to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to do what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, verse 7 says. For I walk by faith and not by sight. Because Hebrew 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 5 says, for by faith, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently, that's the key, diligently. You know what diligently means? That you don't give up too easy. Diligently means you don't let anybody rob you of your joy. Diligently means you keep standing on the battlefield, no matter what it looks like. Diligently means you keep holding up the bloodstained banner, giving God the glory. Diligently means that when the devil knocks you down, you reach your hand up to God and let God pick you up. Diligently means when you don't feel like it, you still give him praise. Diligently means when you don't know why and you don't know how, that you still keep pressing on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Diligently seek him. But here's the point I want to leave you with. He expects faithfulness. Faith without works is dead. So you cannot tell me you're being faithful if you're not doing the work of God. Work doesn't save you, but I must work because I am saved. Come on, somebody. The work doesn't save you. Your profession saves you. But once you've been sanctified, justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't help but to do the work of God. You can't help but to feed the hungry. You can't help but to clothe the naked. You can't help but to go to the prisons. You can't help but to get on the street corner. You can't help but to do. And so therefore, God is looking for some results, some evidence of your faith. James says, show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. And so therefore, there must be some results. What good is it for me just to remember the goodness of the Lord, but don't do anything with it? What good is it for me to remind myself or be reminded of how good God is? And he surely is good. And I choose to do nothing about it. What good is it for me to remember all the things he has done and all the things he has not done? Because you do know he could have done some other things to you. You ought to give him just a minute of praise that he has not dealt with you according to your sin, nor punished you according to your iniquity. I should have got a few more hallelujahs right there. Because how many of you know, if God had dealt with us according to our sins, none of us would be sitting up in here right now. But I'm so glad that he threw my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. I'm so glad that he threw my sins into the lake of remembrance of no more. I'm so glad that he gave me a second chance, that he gave me a third chance. Anybody glad about it? I'm so glad that he's a God of another chance, because I woke up this morning with another chance to give him glory and to give him some praise. So what good is it if I remember and shout, but I walk out of here and do nothing about it? So I want to leave you a scripture among many scriptures. And although it is not explicitly mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 or 2, but my third point is results. And the results are spoken of throughout scripture. Revelation, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, says this in chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. Turn around from your wicked way. And do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. How many of you know repent is a word that means action? You've got to stop what you're doing, turn around, and go back in a different direction. You need to stop cursing your neighbor out and start giving God some praise. You need to stop using your hands to beat up other people and use your hands to stretch them towards heaven. You need to stop being a busybody and start giving God some glory. You need to stop gossiping and start praising. You need to stop backbiting and start lifting somebody else up. You need to stop doing some things and start doing some others. Because if you're saved, your witness ought to testify to your salvation. If you're saved, your words ought to testify to your sanctification. If you're saved, your walk ought to match your talk. Anybody saved here today? Does anybody know how to walk for Him? Does anybody know how to talk for Him? Does anybody know how to praise Him? But when you leave here, does anybody know how to live for Him? It is my prayer. John, the great revelator, writes in this book of Revelation. He says to the church of Ephesus, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Go back and remind yourself of when you first got saved. Does anybody remember when you first got saved? I was a 12-year-old boy at 1322 West 97th Street in the heart of South Central Los Angeles. And the Spirit told me to open up the Bible to the book of Revelation. I started reading in chapter 1. And when John said, the Spirit told me to write, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Tears start streaming down my face because I began to realize there was nothing before Him and there's nothing after Him. He's the first and He's the last. No matter what the devil tries to say, the devil can't do any more than God will allow him, because my God is the Alpha and He's the Omega. And as long as I stay in Him, as long as I abide in Him, He'll fight my battle. He'll put food on my table. He'll put clothes on my back. He'll open doors that no man can shut. Do I have a witness here today? He'll be a bridge over troubled waters. He'll straighten out crooked places. He'll smooth over rough places. Do I have a witness here today? Has God done it for anybody? Can God do it for everybody? Do I have a witness here today that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can imagine? Do I have a witness here today that God can open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? That we don't have room to receive. And as a 12-year-old boy, I was not theologically sophisticated.
I wasn't even thinking about seminary. But the Spirit did something in my spirit to say, even though you don't know your daddy, and even though you've been removed from your mama, I want you to know that I have not forgotten about you, that I'm still right here with you. And as rough as it seems, tomorrow is going to get better. And I said right then and there, Holy Ghost, I'm going to hold on until my change comes. And I'm letting you know at 46, 34 years later, it gets sweeter every day you walk with Jesus. I'm so glad that I know I'm for myself. I'm so glad I called on his name. I'm so glad that he is still a way maker and a burden bearer. And the result that I believe God is looking for me is to keep preaching the word, keep teaching the word, but more importantly, to keep living. Come on, somebody. To keep living the word that somebody else might know that what he's done for me, he can do for somebody else. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, I need you to help extend an invitation. Christian discipleship. On this Memorial Day, not only do I want you to remember the fallen veterans, but I want you to remember the Word of God. I want you to remember what Peter says. Peter says, I write to you, and I believe Peter would have wrote a third epistle and a fourth epistle if he needed to get the attention of God's people, to say to them, don't forget what God has done for you. And no matter what it looks like right now, because really I didn't give enough context. The Christians in 1 Peter and 2 Peter were being persecuted. And he says to them, let me remind you, don't forget who God is and what he's already done for you. And in remembering what he's already done for you, remember he can do again today what he did yesterday. And so if someone here today needs to take this first step, really the second step, because God has already taken the first step for you. Go ahead and sing, choir. And as these men sing this song of invitation, I want to say to someone, God is calling someone here today. I don't know your name. I don't know your situation or your circumstance. But I can tell you this. The God I serve wants the best for you. If you're here today, I want you to step out of your seat. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Anybody here today? Anybody here today?
Oh, my sister.
Thank you, Lord.